Luke, it was a couple weeks ago. I was on the front row and at WordCamp US for the closing keynote from Matt.
Oh, yeah.
And
there was a little part of you that was really hoping for some more fireworks, right?
No part of me. And actually, as I was going into this, I realized in retrospect that I didn't really have any expectation. I was like, yeah, it's going to be what it is. I'd done my talk earlier that day and was kind of like, hey, we're just kind of going with the flow and it'll be interesting. We'll see what's up. And as I'm sitting there, about 20 minutes pass and Matt still has not come on stage.
Okay.
And at this point, I'm like, oh, interesting. Like the room is now full and I'm kind of looking around and just taking it in and I'm chill. Like I'm having a fine old time just hanging out there. And then Robert Jacoby comes out and he does a little like MC thing and he's a good vibe. Matt comes out not too long after. And how do I put this? He seemed disheveled's not quite the right word, but like it just I was like, oh, okay, this is like there was a very like informal vibe. He first came out after the a spokesperson for the city of Phoenix had declared it to be like a WordCamp day. I'm forgetting exactly what they said, but it was kind of a strange. In my head, I'm like, are we going to have it here again next year, or what's up? It was very hot, by the way.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, I'm just taking it all in. And then Matt comes on stage, like takes photos of the gentleman. And there's some like, just mildly awkward stuff that, is added to the fact that like in my head, like there was a button on stage as well, because I was watching .org Slack and I thought like there's a release that's going to coincide to it. I had this sort of expectation of a higher level production, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, we're just rolling with it. And Matt comes out and then he sits down and there's a little bit of back and forth with Jacoby. And at one point, Matt like pulls up the cords on the ground and because he's trying to like reconfigure a laptop or whatever. And just an interesting experience. So when it's all done, I go out into the hall afterwards and I'm just hanging out with a group of folks and someone asks me like what I thought of the experience. And I was like, well, you know, it was pretty good.
Of course you did. Yeah. I can't imagine you saying anything else.
And I was reflecting on some of the things that I liked about, there was some things that were interesting. And this person proceeds to call me naive, which I took some offense to at first. And then upon further reflection, I was like, well, maybe so. And maybe that's just part of like this general like baseline of how I approach these things. In retrospect of recent news, I think, I don't know. It was quite the WordCamp experience.
You're saying that Matt acted a little strangely during the expected WordCamp US keynote address.
Yeah.
Unusual behavior. Yeah, I mean, we can extend a little bit of slack towards that. You know, I think we can give him the benefit of the doubt. Is that a saying that you guys have, or is that a cricket thing?
That's a general saying, Luke.
Okay. Yeah. Just checking. All right. Because it's
wait
hard.
A minute. How do you use benefit of the doubt in cricket? Just to be clear,
if there is a close call for, say, I don't know, an LBW, and the umpire is not sure whether it's out or if it's fine, then the umpire might choose to give the batter the benefit of the doubt. The batter always gets the benefit of the doubt.
Fair enough. Carry on.
I can't wait to have you come to Australia and sit through an entire test match. We're going to do a crossword every day. It's going to be so good. Anyway, I can afford him some grace, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. I think that's fine. You know, like, this is hard. It is hard to do a keynote, especially coinciding with a major release. I know that that was a goal for WordCamp Asia, and it wasn't able to happen. And I mean, again, at WordCamp Asia, you could come out of that saying, oh, Mary's behavior was a little awkward. But man, she was so sick. You know, she was really sick and she had to do the keynote because Matt didn't show up. And then, but then on the other hand, you get this pattern. You get this pattern of weird, strange, awkward behavior. And so, yeah, you don't know what to make of it. And perhaps the automatic board of directors doesn't know what to make of it either.
At one point during the keynote, Anne McCarthy, who was the release lead, comes out on stage because it turned out like Matt discovered halfway through. It's still a little bit confusing to me what happened, but that the release had already gone out. And apparently the plan had changed to not do the button. And Anne did a great blog post afterwards. And Matt dropped a comment on there taking ownership of saying like, hey, this was on me. But for someone in the audience, like it was confusing. And at one point, like Anne comes out and does press the button. So kudos to her for like navigating the process. And it was like, so it was clear, like this was intended to be something different. And it felt like Matt was trying to like lower the stakes and like maybe enjoy something like a bit more informal. That was me making the best of it. And so I found some things that were interesting. He introduced this idea of us all having like .org, like short links, which I thought was kind of interesting. It immediately prompted in my head of like, is he trying to build like a social network? Like what?
No.
It had a little bit reminded me of Apple with their like ping thing, like way back in the day.
In the iTunes.
There were some interesting memes that he had up on screen. Jacoby hadn't seen the deck beforehand, and so they were just kind of navigating.
Usually these things
could.
Are really polished, right?
Right.
Like, in the past, every WordCamp US and WordCamp San Francisco before that has been a very polished affair. I don't know, I'm not here to judge or critique the man's outfit, but he comes up on stage usually with a tie and he's a fresh haircut and he's looking great and he's very smooth talker. He's a great presenter, Matt. He's really good at it. And he comes up with a slide deck that's been rehearsed and rehearsed and that Tammy has worked on and designed and designed and designed. I wonder if Tammy designed the WordCamp US deck.
No, she hasn't. She is as great as she is at that. She has not been involved in making those for a bit, although she did our slides for our talk, which was awesome.
Oh, of course, yeah. How did your talk go, by the way?
I really enjoyed it. We got some great feedback afterwards. We did it together, which was a first for myself.
And it's available now on WordPress TV.
I think it is, actually. You know, speaking about polish, like I think part of what was the tension in my head is that we would be the last to speak against polish. We improvise crossword. Yes. And so there's something about that improvisation that I do find like, I like there's like this authenticity. And
it's
I think that's the best that I could like take is like, it was an attempt to what I took as a genuine attempt to be like authentic and connect and take some risks. Like that was, I think the upside for me that I was seeing throughout it. I think part of what's tricky is that when you're the leader of a project and you've taken such hard positions, there's just a lot more that is expected of you. And are you familiar with the story of Ferdinand the Bull?
No.
It's the story of this bull who is in Spain and like is being raised to like fight and sort of do all this stuff. And he doesn't want to do that. He wants to smell the flowers. It's this whole story of this.
Oh, it's like a children's story.
Yeah, it's a children's story. And at the end of the day, like he doesn't want to be a fighter. He just wants to smell the flowers.
And it's Ferdinand?
Well, I was mixing metaphors in my head where I'm like, it feels like Matt sometimes is unintentionally like a bull in like a china cabinet where it doesn't really matter, even if it's Ferdinand and it's your chill, it doesn't really matter what you're doing. You're still a bull in a china cabinet. And as you move as delicately as you may attempt to, you're going to cause trouble and you're going to break things.
I think it's a china shop, but yeah. I guess like the difficult tension for us to navigate, and by us I mean the WordPress community, is how do we, with respect, with grace, with patience, with kindness, how do we notice that the wheels kind of seem to be coming off?
Yeah. Because for the first time, there actually may be a distinct clarity between the role of Automattic, the company,
right,
and the project. One of the messages that I saw Matt put on X is that he had some personal websites that he needed to move out of Automattic, by which I could only infer that he was referring to .org. I don't know. He talked about wanting to hire a sysadmin, like, immediately.
Oh, no, he'll be talking about WordPress.com websites, surely.
.org, not .com. Who knows?
Moved off Automattic, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, okay. I mean,
so it's clear that
maybe they're VIP.
Even as he's made positive statements, that he's not just going to stand around and do nothing. Like, he is the release lead for the upcoming, like, WordPress release. So, it's going to be interesting to see. I think in the past, there's been this ambiguity that suddenly, between Automattic and .org and how this all works, and suddenly that seems like this has been a forcing function to remove that ambiguity.
Mm. Because, and that's the key thing, is Matt is no longer the CEO of Automattic, but he is still the benevolent dictator for life of WordPress.
Yes.
And so let's watch this release closely, because he's the release lead. This is not the first time he's been release lead, but it is the first time he's been release lead and not also the CEO of Automattic, at least, you know, in recent memory. And so that will be interesting. Is Matt, now that he's no longer, you know, burdened by all of the responsibilities that CEO requires, especially a CEO trying to navigate a difficult lawsuit, is that going to mean that he's going to spend more time and more devoted effort to WordPress.org or not? You know, and if it is that he spends more time focused on .org, is that going to be beneficial for the project or not? It could really go, I mean, I guess I just sort of laid out a quadrant. It could go one of any four ways.
One of the things I actually enjoyed during the WordCamp US talk is he seemed focused on this idea of bringing back a simplicity, or recognizing that there's value in things like being simple. He talked about this new thing I think he was calling it Piplets, this idea of these like self-contained, like little PHP things. And it seemed like, just at face value, it seemed like interesting. And for me, just as an observer, naive or not, just sort of taking it in, I'm like, okay, I like that the leader of the project is like thinking, it felt like that there was some innovative thought going into it, where I couldn't quite see the whole picture, but I liked that sense of direction, that there's this attempt to recognize, like, I don't think Matt is blindly watching the, and I think, Luke, this is a lot of what I struggle with, is like, I've always wanted to, like, I've always cheered for the project and where it feels like it fits within this broader open web context and tension against the proprietary platforms. And I see Matt like raising that standard still. And yet I'm finding myself less enthusiastic about a wholehearted, like, yes, I'm with you on this. And I think in that keynote, I saw what felt to me some glimpses of that Matt that is thinking about like the future of the open web. I'm just having a hard time, at least in those moments, to connect Automattic, the company, and all the things that it's done under Matt's leadership to that same vision for this open web. And
right, it's kind of like, as the benevolent dictator for life of an open source project, and I don't mean that in a diminishing way. BDFL, I think, is a completely reasonable governance model. If you're the BDFL, then yes, sometimes you need to take a stance and you need to make a hard decision, right? Sometimes you have to go, you know what? We need to update the core editor. It's not working. It's not going to be the editor in the future. We need it. And there's going to be pushback. There's going to be, you know, people upset about it. There's going to be people have to change their workflow. People have to learn new things, JavaScript deeply. And that's part of the job, and that's where it goes. But another part of that BDFL role is that you also have to take the community along with you. You can't leave too many people behind. Yeah, some people will not come along for the ride, but other people, you know, you really do need a critical mass.